has quite a lot to say. The evidence is clear on every side, piled high and wide, about how lately I let things slide. I'm just about holding on, but lately I've let things slide.
Always act so poor as a human evermore, then it's time to take up another plan. Life might have a different face if I could but change my race to that of beast instead of man.
All on the corners of your bed, but you've got too much to wear on your sleeves. It has too much to do with me, and secretly I want to bury in the yard the gray remains of a friendship scar. Mm. You tested your metal, a doe skin and paddles, a kissing the lipless, the bleed off the sweetness away. butterfly. She doesn't like to talk, but she likes to dance all night. She doesn't like the dark, but she likes it when I turn out the light. Because she float like a bee, but she sting like a butterfly. She doesn't like to talk, but she likes to dance all night. Yeah. She doesn't like the dark, but she likes it when I turn out the light. Because she float like a bee, but she sting like a butterfly.
Classic rock, but hate the lack of variety on classic rock stations? Then tune in to Classic Rock Mine. Classic Rock Mine delivers classic rock that rocks. From bands you know, like Grand Funk Railroad, Mott the Hoople, and Uriah Heep, to bands you don't know, like the Flower Traveling Band, Papo's Blues, and Nectar. Classic Rock Mine. It's the best classic rock you've never heard. Saturday nights from 9 to 11 on 91.5 WMFO Medford. Tufts University Radio.
You know I want you bad. You must be used to that. You got my temperature hot. hard. So when you tap my trigger, you make my body quiver. Master pleasure giver, got me flowing like the Charles River. You know the situation, simple as multiplication. Me plus you equals deadly combination. I got your back and I know you got mine, cause you keep coming back and going down with the sunshine.
I know
accelerating, faster, faster, growing, growing.
I know you.
Down, 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 down,
closely to me. Your eyes will see what love can do. Reveal to me your love so true. Listen to me, listen closely to me. I've told the stars you're my only love. I want to love you tenderly. Those same bright stars in heaven above know now how sweet sweethearts can be. Listen to me, hear what I say. Our hearts can be nearer each day. Hold me, darling, listen closely to me.
dressed in black. Your shoes and a big straw hat. He's never early, he's always late. First thing you learn is that you always gotta wait. I'm waiting for my man. All working out.
Hi, I'm Cedric Ellis for PETA. Who can forget the haunting images of animals left behind barely clinging to life after Hurricane Katrina slammed into the Gulf Coast? Hurricanes, flash floods, earthquakes, and wildfires can affect us all, but animals are often the most vulnerable victims. If you're forced to evacuate, protect your entire family and never leave your animals behind. Make plans for their safety now before disaster strikes. For tips on disaster preparedness, visit PETA.org.
Move to the left, move to the right, run back and forth. things, I actually think he's not that brilliant. His voice is not that wonderful on it. But there are some great moments. My Death is absolutely fantastic. Time is absolutely fantastic. Moon Age Daydream is brilliant when you see the fans in the audience singing along with it. It's absolutely great.
Part of the problem is that what you needed was a great epic performance. The Man Who Fell to Earth was really Ziggy Stardust the Motion Picture. That should have been renamed Ziggy Stardust the Motion Picture, but the actual movie itself is a little disappointing. It's a little flat. It doesn't quite capture the grandeur of the vision, the topicality of what De Bowie was talking about, and more importantly, the urgency of the whole thing that surrounded him. And I think it really let down the whole image.
And there's one section where Ronson plays a long guitar solo, and you first of all on the film you see him play the solo, and then you see that Bowie has gone off stage for a costume change, and you can see him in the dressing room changing while you hear the solo going on.
It's a very disappointing film from a technical point of view, but obviously as a historical document is one of the few complete records we've got of just how good Bowie was on stage at that time.
To the best of my knowledge, there wasn't a huge amount of repatching or re-recording after the event. I think it's a really important film. I think technically it's not wonderful. I think the 5.1 mix that my old friend Tony Visconti's done is very, very good indeed. But if you're a Bowie fan, how can you not have that film?
It was good to watch, personally. Whether that effect is the same from somebody not in the band, I can't really say.
What you needed are reverses from behind the band to show you the crowd and the reaction to the crowd. There are very limited camera angles, and obviously that's due to the difficulties of shooting these things on film. The cameras are constantly running out of film. It's difficult to handle sound on a film production. And all of those weaknesses come through. So I think calling it the motion picture is a slightly over-the-top description for what is a very basic record of Bowie live in performance.
Bye-bye, we love you.
Working with David was different. It was, you know, sometimes a matter of keeping up with where he was going.
And a lot of people would love to have done what I did, you know. It was the most exciting thing I've ever done.
In the studio, sometimes impatient, you know, which probably led to the reason why we only did three takes at the most. It would expect everybody to really have it together. So you had to, you know, otherwise the atmosphere would go a bit sour. Once you knew that was the game, then you played that game. And it was all right. So that got tough.
Well, the band, you've got three musicians from Hull. Two of them have played together for quite a long time, a band called The Rats, and then me, who played in the area in another band, a rival band. And we all did the same sort of music. And we were all into heavy rock and blues and power music, you know, good feel power music. And then when I joined, we still had that. And then we took it to Bowie, who basically, in some respects, was a folk singer. And you put his songs with our music and our power that we had, and he's put the really great songs together, and all of a sudden the songs change because the band turns it and twists it, and you come up with a great combination, you know. And I think that's what happened. It was just either happened by chance or it was fate or whatever, I don't know, but it just happened. It just gelled.
Generally, it was, I guess, it was fun as well, above everything. You did your job, you did what was wanted live and everything else, and you had a good time.
Oh, the music stood the test of time without fail, you know. I mean, people still, that album still gets voted one of the albums of all time.
He made The Man Who Sold the World, Hunky Dory, Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, Aladdin Sane, obviously Pin-Ups, and then Diamond Dogs and Young Americans. It's ridiculous. If you told anyone today that a modern day artist was going to have that kind of creative success, you know, six albums that would change the world, or have many records that is, you'd no one would believe you today.
Everybody I talk to must have a Ziggy album in this country. And everybody I meet that was a Bowie fan, that was their era. It was the Spiders and Ziggy era.
It's like that thing of the happy times are getting there, not necessarily when you get there. You know, when you look back, you realise that they were the good times, and you didn't sort of notice the really good times because you were going through them thinking the good time was at the other end. But you get there and look back and you go, no, that was the good time, you know. And even sleeping in a sleeping bag on his landing in his flat, which is where we probably slept for about a year, the whole band were in sleeping bags, you know, doing the first albums and that. And at the time you think it's rough. You look back and you think, nah, it was actually cool. We got up, had a coffee, went down and played drums straight away and jammed, and then had breakfast and, you know, it was good. It was a good scene, you know.
And then to do Ziggy, and then from then on for Ziggy to take off. I mean, I'd always wanted to be in a band that was successful, and that was huge, you know. And it wasn't the sort of success where you do an album, you have a hit album, and then nobody ever hears about you again. To do Ziggy, which is a classic album, and it always will be, you know, it's up there with Sgt. Pepper and stuff like that. It was amazing to play on that. The period that I was with Bowie was only, I think it was 3 years. And when I'd finished with him, I didn't know if Ziggy would ever be recognised as a great album or that period, you know. I mean, I went on to join Heap and then Wishbone and Heap again. But still today, people just love that album and love that era, and people just talk about it all the time. And it's always on the TV, and it's always in the newspaper, and it's always there. It's never gone away. It's such an important era of rock and roll. And I mean, it's amazing that I actually played on all that stuff. You know, it's brilliant for me.
David Bowie's not the best singer in the world, but fantastic. Just the sort of showmanship aspect, the entertainment aspect of his career, his sort of hunger for it, and his belief, his complete and utter belief in his whole imagery and the sort of stories he weaves. That coupled with amazing songwriting, I really think is a winning combination, and that's why he's one of these superstars.
He was always ambiguous, obscure, always interesting. In fact, Hunky Dory, the album, was he's got on record as saying that he was influenced by the writings of Friedrich Nietzsche, the philosopher. He would always be unafraid of tackling salacious subjects.
I mean, because I'd gone from just playing in local bands, never been in a recording studio before, to going into a recording studio, doing Hunky Dory, which I adored as an album. I was proud, if I'd have only done that, I'd have been proud of that, you know.
It's always difficult to define David Bowie's golden era because every era is different. I think if you speak to Bowie fans who got into him around the 71, 74 period, the Spiders era, if you want, they'll always say that was the best period.
I would have preferred to have gone out and, like we were originally going to do, as was to have sort of partied with Bowie in a way and gone out, and me, Mick and Woody had gone out and done a band, done the Spiders thing together. I think if we'd have done that, which we were going to do, until certain forces and management stepped in and stopped it. I think that would have been great because we wouldn't have known where we would have gone as a band as well. We could have gone on and done great albums.
So I think first and foremost at the drawing board, I think it's his songwriting that really, really shines. And you know, through what, through nearly four decades, I think he's consistently come up with great songs, you know, from early on right through the Ziggy period, right through to the Let's Dance period. Just awesome, awesome songs.
And we weren't given the chance because other people didn't want it to happen. Which is sad, I think, you know. I'd like to have gone out like that, but the way it went out, it was pretty, not a nice ending to such a great time, you know. It still gets me today, you know. I still think about it and think, you know, if we'd have just done this, you know, never mind without David or whatever, but if we'd have just gone on and done something else and carried it through a bit further. But unfortunately it stopped when Ronson did his solo albums and Woody got fired. And I sort of did this album with Ainsley Dunbar, but the heart had gone out of the band then. You know, I mean, Ainsley Dunbar's a great drummer, but he's not Woody Woodmansey. You know, you lose a member of the band and it changes.
Lyrically, always very, very interesting. And although he was not, in the traditional sense, a brilliant guitar player, he was able to come up with some very unusual chord structures. He was not afraid of using flattened fifths. He was not afraid of using major sevenths in the bass, which was previously unheard of, as in Space Oddity and Starman at the start. I think his sax playing was quite bizarre at times. And I think the combination of his unusual musical ideas with the wide range of lyrical subjects that he used to incorporate is one secret to his success.
I don't think there was anyone like Bowie before he came along. I don't think there has been anyone since, and I don't think there ever will be anyone like David Bowie again. We will never see his like again. He is the most influential artist of all time, and his music will still be listened to, along with the Beatles. His people will still be listening to Bowie's music in 200 years' time, I'm quite convinced of it.
To me, David Bowie is one of the most amazing rock-era performers we have ever seen and will ever see, because he was one of the very few artists, and is one of the very few artists, who understands the value of change and always understands the value of doing things to the maximum. So he'll always do things with the greatest effort possible, with the greatest talents possible. And there aren't many artists you can say that about. He seems to have an ability to bring out the best in other people because that brings out the best in him.
He appealed across the board to gender benders, to men, to women, to boys, to girls, still does. And I think it's very difficult to say exactly that was the reason for his success. There are so many reasons. Commercial melodies, you'll take something like John, I'm Only Dancing, Starman, a wonderfully sing-along chorus, and then you've got something as intricate and musical as Space Oddity. I think he's a very complex guy, and I think his complexity is the key to his success.
In this weird and wonderful world tomorrow, we'll still be doing the same things.
On the air at 91.5 WMFO. On the web at WMFO.org.
Leave room for your growth tomorrow.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know that you don't know what life is really worth. Not all that glitters is gold. All the stories never been told. So now you see the light. Stand up for your right. Come on!
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights.
Oh Lord, now.
Get up,
Great God will come from the sky. Take away everything and make everybody feel high. But if you know life is worth, you will do your hours on earth. And now you see the light. Now stand up for your right.
Everybody, get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights.
Oh Lord, now
get up, stand up.
Don't give up the fight. Don't give up the fight.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights.
Oh Lord, now
get up, stand up.
Don't give up the fight.
Wayne Kramer, lead guitar.
In Jesus' name, Lord, we know what we understand. Almighty God is a living man. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you cannot fool the people all the time. Get up, see the right. Stand up for your right.
Get up, stand up.
Come on.
Stand up for your rights.
Oh Lord, now
get up.
Crazy, but I
It's love, 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 love. Oh
be